Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy weekend to join us for this two-hour show. Again, focused on markets and in the second hour on the metals sector with a couple more company updates where I try to feature some of the small companies that have some interesting programs going on and are waiting for some news to be released that could be some nice catalysts. That being said, the first hour is going to be focused again a bit more on broad markets, and I'm even going to get into a little bit of technical analysis because we do have a pretty strong following of technical traders, and I really want to simplify what some of the technicians I really like are focusing on. Please, everybody, keep those emails coming, fleck@kereport.com, and please let me know what you think of this, a bit of a renewed focus for the show. That being said, I am kicking off the show with Peter Buchvar. He writes the Book Report website, one that I visit every day. He is also the chief investment officer over at Bleakley Advisory Group. Peter, let's talk big picture right now in terms of what matters moving into next year. The election, for the most part, is behind us. I don't want to get into politics here. Let's just take the current numbers as we have them, which is a Biden presidency and still, for the most part, a split government. We also had some vaccine news that came out this week, caused some huge volatility at the start of the week. What matters in your eyes as we progress into next year?
Well, January 5th, we're going to have the runoff elections in Georgia on both Senate seats. The assumption is that the Republicans will win at least one of them, which would clinch the divided government for the next 2 years. But that is not in the books. So that'll be one key area of focus as we enter the new year. And then I think following the Pfizer news that we saw this week about the very positive results of their trials should be followed up by other positive results from Moderna and hopefully AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson in the months to come. So there is going to be optimism that we finally have effective antidotes to COVID and that should provide a lot more optimism into 2021. Now, when there'll be mass inoculation, that will remains to be seen, but the hope, of course, is that at least it'll begin in the first and second quarter and that the economy should rebound. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be fine because there's going to be, you know, in terms of the market, because there's going to be an interest rate response, there could be a central bank response. And we know, generally speaking, we really have two stock markets. We have tech and then we have everything else. And tech, of course, has benefited this year from work from home. But if less people are working from home next year, maybe that means that other areas of the market start to trade better.
So, Peter, do you think it could all happen next year in terms of a vaccine coming out? I don't think we'll get to mass inoculation, best case scenario, even by next year. But would that be enough to provide some people with the confidence to go back out, start spending money on some of the things they used to spend money on, and even more importantly, start to open up more businesses?
I like to look at what is going on right now in China as sort of a window into what can happen next, in that not just China, but in Singapore and Japan and Taiwan and South Korea and Hong Kong, that they have contained this virus to a much greater extent than Europe, the U.S., and other parts of the world like South America. And you look at China, movie theaters are back to 90% of pre-COVID attendance levels. You have the restaurants that are full again. You have travel, which has risen sharply over the last couple of months, particularly during Golden Week, and malls are crowded again. So I think people will be surprised that once there is that confidence generated by that vaccine, with, well, not everyone is going to get it, if enough people do get it and people see that it works, that, I mean, look at the fatigue we already see from COVID. I mean, people are just exhausted by this. So you give them a reason to actually then feel safe. Then I think human nature is going to prove that a lot of our lives hopefully will go back to close to where it was pre-COVID. Again, it's going to take time, But I can be confident that if a lot of people get vaccinated in the first and second quarter of next year, that next summer, if there's a concert, those tickets are going to be sold out. And if there's a baseball game, those tickets are going to be sold out. And there's going to be large parts, and then that restaurant, it's going to be hard to get a reservation because people are just exhausted under the current circumstances, and they're going to rush back to do the things that they did before. Now, obviously, some things won't change. You won't be maybe going to your office 5 days a week. Maybe it's just three or four, but you're still going to need space, and that, if anything, office space is going to have to be further spread out. So the irony is that maybe some employers will need even more space than they did before just to spread people out. So I don't want to extrapolate the last 8 months, which have been obviously very difficult, and assume that things are going to change forever. Again, some things may change, no question, but I think people will be surprised at how much they go back to the way they were pre-COVID. Again, assuming that we mass roll out these vaccines and they work.
Yeah, fair enough. Still a long and tumultuous road, still a long way, I think, from actually getting everything in order, but a lot of things have to go right. Oh, man, I hope they do, because I'd love to get back into a baseball stadium, watch some live sports rather than just watching it on TV. But let's say that this all progresses in a very positive fashion. People start to get more confident. This fatigue, it's clearly around, and I see what you mean. People are ready to get out and start doing things that we used to do. But when it comes to big picture monetary policy, does that shift aggressively in the opposite direction from where it's going right now, which is low to zero interest rates essentially forever?
Well, certainly it won't reverse aggressively because central banks, it's just not in their nature. You know, look at Janet Yellen, and she raised rates for the first time in 2015, and the recession ended in 2009. But at least as we get into early next year, it will stop, hopefully, the central bankers from pressing even further on the easing. You want to go where the puck is going, and the puck is going to a vaccine and a better economy next year. So, and that the central banks are going to be forced to sort of call a timeout on their policies and realizing that the only reason why at least the Fed has lowered rates to zero and ramped up QE, and Bank of Canada cutting rates and ramping up QE, and Reserve Bank of Australia and the Bank of England, and well, they did that because of COVID. Well, if COVID all of a sudden is the beginning of the end, it starts going away next year, well, how do you substantiate keeping policy pedal to the metal the way that it is? So I think that they're going to have no choice but to start having conversations about reversing it and at some point implementing it.
That would be quite the change. But again, a lot of stuff has to go right to get to that level. You mentioned inflation there. What are the odds, do you think, of inflation perking up to a certain degree that even the Fed or the ECB says, oh, wow, we finally have the inflation that we want that is running even over our targets?
Well, I think the stage has already been set. And we're seeing that in certain areas of the economy. We're beginning to see it in commodity prices. We're seeing it in transportation costs that are rising double digits. So I think that the vaccine sort of clinches an inflationary environment next year. And again, you can be sure, as I said, central banks will be way overstaying their welcome with their easing. That'll certainly lend more fire to that potential inflationary outcome, which means that longer-term rates will head higher. And central banks, again, will be forced to respond to that, I believe.
All right, Peter, we need to wrap up the first segment here, but I am having you back on next segment, so everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Peter Buchvar.